Don't think God changed his rule for David. The Bible said God is no respecter of person. God's eyes too pure to behold wickedness and uphold it. Even David says, I believe it is in 66:18, he says that if he regard iniquity, that's in Psalms, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Check the reference on that, please. I want to make sure that's right, 66:18. I'm not going to read all of these. I got a couple of them. I'm going to go ahead and finish them. I only have four more of these. 2 Samuel 19:19, the king's, and he said to the king, let not my Lord impute the iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely in the day that my Lord the king went out from Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Hear confession of Shimei that threw rocks at David, and he cursed and sware. Show that confession is an acknowledgement on the dependence of the individual that is in charge for forgiveness. Shimei was not in the position to forgive himself. Shimei was not in the position to be restored. It was all dependent upon his confession that he had done the king wrong, and it was up to the king to let him live. Confessions are a beautiful thing when they are done in accordance to God's will, even if God does not forgive us. There comes a time when God says enough is enough. When that time comes, Tim does not know. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but who confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. The brother stood before us and confessed mightily. I don't know if you were paying attention. It might have been that we were just hearing somebody be honest, and it got to us and it touched us. But it's deeper than that. It's much deeper than just a confession. Here is a person that has laid it out there on the line, and if we are supposed to be spiritual, ye that are spiritual, according to Galatians 6:1, supposed to be able to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. I do believe that it was of God for that time to come, and that this person at this juncture in their life stop resting on their gifts, talents, and ability, and come before God and bring about accountability, because that's what they said, wrote it up on the board, I am accountable. Now, if somebody says that right in your midst and you don't help, how dare you say the love of God is in you? How dare me say that the love of God is not in me? But that with that accountability, somebody might suffer, because when you hold some people accountable, sometimes what happens is they'll fight you. Mom, as a child, when you tried to correct me and train me, when you tried to teach me what was right and wrong, did I ever fight against your rules and your regulations and your guidance? But you held on, didn't you? You know how I can hold on those westerns, and they get that bull, and that guy going to break it, or he going to break that horse, and the one that really good, he holds on to that wild bronco, and after a while, got one of the best horses around, because that horse knows who the master is. I don't know how God helped you do it. I think somewhere along the line, I'm sure you slid off and he slid on, and he broke this bronco. But are we going to be willing to help, hold on and help our brother? Or did we just get some information that we can talk about? If that's all we got, some information that we can talk about, how dare us call ourselves the children of God? Matthew 3:6 says the people that came to John the Baptist, they were baptized to him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Confession is preparation for righteousness. Confession is preparation for righteousness. It's not righteousness, but it's a preparation to be made righteous. Matthew 5:24 says, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Confession here is a reconciliation of the covenant people. If there's issues, if there's problems that you all have with one another, the restoration, the confession, or the telling someone of what the issue is that's wrong, and you remember that person got something against you, you go to that person and you all talk that thing out and confess whatever it is, tell the truth about it, and it brings about restoration of God's covenant people. We do not just have a relationship with God according to the scripture. It's not all vertical. It's horizontal. If I bring a picture of the tabernacle here, you will see that there are three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. Three on the east, three on the west, three on the north, three on the south. And each one of those groups was set there in rows in order around the tabernacle because they were God's covenant people and God was dead center. And right there in the middle was his Shekinah glory. Now, how many of you all that I've talked to would say that I want to see the power of God in seeking truth? How many of us do? We have people here that are sick. Worse than that, we still are seeing that we have brothers here and sisters here that are going through living hell. How can you have living peace knowing that you're defying a living, all-powerful, awesome God that at his breath, your breath can be taken away, that at his moment, all of your finances can be gone, and at his moment, your children could be gone? There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. What we call mistakes, often God calls wickedness. Now, who gets to define whether something's a mistake? Us or God? When Tim do wickedly, if he does wickedly, it's wicked. I want to paint it as wicked and as rancid and as putrid and as sour as it is and as smelly and as distasteful and as aberrant as it is so that I don't like it. If we can learn to see ourselves the way God sees us, I think we do better if we could take it. The last one on this list, Matthew 18. 15 through 17, moreover, if your brother trespasses against him, go tell or confess, go tell him his fault between him and thee alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. Restoration brings about fellowship in the family and in the community of God. But if he hear thee not, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Confession gives information for judgment by God's covenant people. Information, correct confession, correct information gives us information that we can make right judgment. Remember he told Achan, son, give glory to God. We already know it's you. They had cast lots. If you read the passage, they had cast lots. They knew it was him. Let the last thing you do be righteous. I mean, you've already messed up by the number. Your sentence is already given. Let the last thing you do be righteous. And then 17, if he neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Confession is the axis for action taken in accordance to God's will for his covenant people. That's what confession is for. It's not for you to go before a priest and you say something and you keep doing what you want to do the way that you want to, as long as you want to do it. That's absolutely abhorrent, and it's an aberration of what God wants. In other words, you've taken what God has used confession for, and you've made it a ritual. I can confess stuff all day. I've seen people on divorce court. I've seen people confess that they did wrong, and then in the next breath laugh about it. But true confession brings about accountability for judgment. Our repentance. When I had to repent before God, I didn't have an assembly. But I remember I still knew Ann then, and she knew the misery of my heart. I used to tell her, God will never use me. I've messed up my life. And to her, I sounded so pitiful, because to me, I wanted to die. If I could have just knew that I could be saved and die, I wanted to die. Because all I've ever wanted to do, I didn't want to be a doctor. I thought about being a lawyer, and I liked it. But the one thing I wanted to do was teach his uncompromising, butt-naked word to the people. I wanted to teach it. I wanted to be a man of God. That's just what I wanted to be. Didn't want to be a cook. I just wanted to be God's man. But I didn't just want to preach. I wanted to be a man of God. I had read the scriptures. I had seen men of God, not just people that I looked at and thought were men of God, but I looked at how I had lived. I didn't really pay Manasseh that much attention. I just knew me and thinking that it's me. God can't forgive me. God can't restore me. God can't use me. And it's like, what's the use in living? And she said, how do you know God's not using you now? But at that point, I was making confession. Although it went to an assembly, I was letting somebody know that I had lived such a life that was outside of God's will that I deserved all of his judgment. But the way in which I was given it, I was repenting of it, but it's like he can't use me. Will we let our brother get to that place? Will we let him get to the place that he can say that God can't use me? Or will we let him be at the place where use me anyway? Even if I live like this, accept me on my gifts, talents, and ability. When the scripture said a husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Romans chapter 2 verses, when you look at chapter 2, 17 through 20, it says, you're going to make a boast of yourself in the law. You're going to say God's law is right. You say that you're an instructor of the foolish. Just turn to it. As you know, I can quote stuff and I might leave out a piece of the juice. I got my eye on the time real strong. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. Paul was talking about people that knew God's law and were supposed to be teachers of God's law. If you start at the first verse of the second chapter, he told them they are inexcusable. They knew God's law. They could condemn somebody in judgment, but they do the same thing. And Paul said, you're guilty of the same thing. Do you just despise God's riches and goodness? But I want to go to verse 17 and pull a taste out of that. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, a covenant man. And you rest in the law, in Torah, in God's, the Greek word here would be nomos, but we're going back to Torah, this teaching. And you make your boast, you make your claim, you make your declaration of God. It says, and you know his will, and you approve of the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the instruction or out of the law. You're able to eloquently speak. Not just the brother. But all of us that have been around God's word enough, we are able to give somebody some scripture on what they should do. Who in here is not able to tell somebody something about what God wants and what God has said? You see what I'm saying? But then he says, you know his will and you approve of the things that are more excellent, especially when we're telling somebody else what to do. But verse 19, you are confident that you are a guide of the blind, a light to them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish and a teacher of babes, which have a form of knowledge and truth in the law of the instruction. He says, you consider yourself a teacher. This brother is a teacher. He's a teacher in more ways than one. You teach what you say, and you teach what you do. But he is a teacher. Is there anyone here that can say that this brother does not have the ability to teach and to teach well? But is there anyone here that think we don't have the ability to teach and to teach well? We teach with everything we do. We teach people how to act. What is it called? Act stank. We teach how to show. We show how to be hateful. We show how to be sweet. We show how to cook, how to fix a tie. We teach when everything we do. How do you think your children learn how to talk? You think they take a course when they get in the first grade? We've taught. You keep going goo goo gaga gigi, and that's the way your child would talk. But let's look at verse 21. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? And thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? And thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Sacrilege is when you go and you would plunder a temple and you take the idols. He says, thou that makest a boast or a declaration of the law, dishonoreth thou God. It's got a question mark there, but if you look at the next verse, it'll let you know that he's saying that you do dishonor God. Verse 24 says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. The name of God, the holiness of God, is defamed. It is railed against. It is denied. It is made light of. It is made repugnant. The name of God is made repugnant when we, the children of God, live a lifestyle that's outside of the will of God. And that's what we're learning in the Kings. When they made God's name repugnant, God dealt with them accordingly. When we make our confessions and say that we are living a life outside of God's will, understand that people see what you do, whether they say it or not, and we're giving people the opportunity to blaspheme. And it's not just this brother. And it could be me tomorrow if I lose my, if I lose the grip. The Bible said, let him that think he stand, take heed lest he fall. That's why I keep chewing on God's word. That's why when you see me and you talk to me, if you talk to me over an hour and I don't mention God, it better be something about business so strong. But even in business, I got to cull it with God's word. That's my protection. I believe David was telling the truth when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of thy heart be my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I believe that he painted his thoughts with the word of God. Verse 26, and I'm gonna move on from there. I'm at 25, I'm sorry. For circumcision or the religious covenant man, verily profit if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law or the teaching of God, then your circumcision or your covenant status with God that was given in Genesis 17 is made of non-covenant. This is very serious. When the question was asked to me why, I believe that God was working with, in, and through us. I'm looking forward to the day when the brother will stand up again and can say, truly, this was a low day in my life. This was a day that I hated. Did you see his face? Was there any joy on his face? Was there anybody in here like, I do it, I do it, I do it, I just do it. It's about time. I've been looking to see him say it. If you didn't feel any heaviness of heart, then I don't think we have the heart of God yet. But I'm looking forward to the day that we can see that God moves him from the position of being under his judgment to the place of repentance, and that he's restored. And when he comes, if he gets to come before us and speak, or if he goes anywhere else and speak and teach, that is coming out of the heart, and his confession is, look at me. If you can't believe what I'm teaching, look at my life. Look at the life how I deal with my family. The Bible says explicitly, if you're going to let her have a bishop, he's going to be the husband of one wife, having his children in subjection. And the 15th verse says, if a man know not how to take care of his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? But this man can say, I take care of my own house. Ask my wife. Look at how we respond to each other. Look how we treat each other. Because last week he said, I'm not doing that. How many men have you ever seen stand up and teach, be that honest? Now, is there anybody here that really, I don't want to see any hands, I'm just looking at faces, cannot believe that that was from God so that he can get to the place where he needs to be? If you are a teacher, and he is a teacher, he's taking a position of minister, he's taking a position of what they call reverend, although it didn't come from here, he's in the position that he's dealt with on a different level. Why do you say that, Tim? I'm glad you asked. Even the false prophets are dealt with on a higher level because they've taken the words that were supposed to be God's and gave them to the people. If they gave the people lies, according to Jeremiah, they stole God's word out of their heart. But if the individual was a real man of God that was outside of his will, you all remember that man that came to Jeroboam? And God told him, don't talk to nobody when you leave, when you prophesy against this altar that Josiah's dealing with, and you tell him what's going to happen, and Jeroboam was going to grab him. His hand withered. And then he prayed, and his hand was healed. But he told Jeroboam that your priest's going to be killed right here on this altar. But when the man was going back, a true man of God, he listened to somebody, a false prophet. And what happened? He disobeyed and God killed him. I don't know what's going to happen here in Seeking Truth, but I'm asking God to help us be authentic. I'm asking God to help us be real. There's enough church people in this world that if we were really and truly authentic and we reverenced God's word and had the power, we could have an awesome impact in this world. Very awesome.